Okay, we are on Siman Kuf Sam of Zion, Sif Gimel. So first couple of Sifim, we'll just make some small quick aros, and then we'll be Mayan in a couple of bigger things. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein levarach kodem sheyitfos halechem. You shouldn't make the bracha until you're holding on to the bread. Why is that? So the Beis Yosef says, and the Magen Avraham echoes, "Deba'inan samach lasiyasan." In other words, we don't want there to be a gap between the bracha and the eating, so you have to hold on to the bread, so you could eat it right away, right after the bracha. If you look later on, Siman Reish Vav Sif Dalid, it says the same thing. You should be ochez as ochel biyad yamino k'shemivarech. Why? There we have a different reason. Shechavin libo al mashemivarech. So they have kavana when you're holding it, when you're looking at it. Yamino is of kavana bracha, so you should have kavana. So there's two reasons why you should hold on to the bread when you make the bracha. Why do you need two reasons? Stam, you could say there's two reasons, they're both true. In theory, perhaps you could have nafkim, you could have one reason without the other. Maybe the din in our siman, and let's say you saw for sure you're going to get it on time. Base. The waiter is coming with the food, he's on his way. You know, it's reasonable to assume that by the time you finish the bracha, you'll be ready to eat it. There'll be no gap. Still, it's not right because you should hold on to it. Alts kavana. And likewise, faker. Let's say you have your sandwich, but it's wrapped up in a bag. So in terms of holding it, alts kavana, you're holding it. But since there's going to have to be a hefsek, you're going to have to unwrap it before you eat it. So that's why you need this din. So that's why, lemaisa, you need two reasons. There are two reasons, and you need both of them. Why it's important to hold on to the bread when you make the bracha. Okay, turning to Siv Dalid, the Magen Avraham writes, "Kishiyomer Hashem Yagbia Hapas uVeshabesh Dayan." So you're saying, "Hamotzi Lachman Arutz Baruch Ata Hashem." When you get to Hashem, you pick up the bread that you're holding, and if it's Shabbos, so then you're holding two loaves, you pick up both breads. Is this a din that when you say the Shem Hashem, you pick it up? Is that Dafka by pas, or would the same thing be by shahakol? Did anyone see anything on that? I didn't see anyone that says it in other places, so maybe when we get to Hilchos Brichos of Harris, we'll see if somebody does say it. But from what I found, sounds like this din is by pas, though, again, this needs further eon, so I'm not sure. But so far, I only saw it cited by pas. Now, the Kaf HaChaim says from the Arizal that if you follow the Sodom Shel Dvarim, when should you pick it up? When you say hamotzi. Hamotzi lachman arutz, that's when you pick up the bread. So maybe. This is what the Kaf HaChaim says, right? Sif katan lamed gimel, if you want to look it up. In other words, the din of picking it up by Hashem is from the Maharil, and by picking it up for the word hamotzi is from the Arizal. Yeah, I don't see why you couldn't pick it up both times. I've seen people pick it up for lachem. Mostly lachem and arutz, like, you know, matzazu. That I haven't seen anyone say. It's either Hashem or motzi, or Adam suggesting you may as well do both. Could be. I don't see why. Ainli esek ministaros. I don't really know, but I don't see why you couldn't do both. Turning to Sif Hay. So here we have the halach of salt. We already talked about this a bit during the Seder Adaf. We saw that there's two reasons why there's an inyan to have salt on the table. I mean, the main reason to have salt on the table, what the Gemara says, is so that it'll be available to put on your bread, because the bread tastes better with salt or some type of lifton, and we don't want to be mafsik, so you should have the salt or the lifton ready, so that, and not just before the mevarich, but before everybody, so that as soon as he finishes the bracha, you'll be able to eat your food with your salt without delay. But the question is there any inyan to put on salt or to have salt at the table when you don't need the salt? Meaning to say, your challah is delicious challah as it is, it doesn't need salt. So the Gemara says explicitly, that in that case, you don't need to put salt on it. There's no magical school for salt. However, the Rishonim do say that there's still an inyan to have salt at the table. Why? Why do you need salt at the table if you're not even going to put it on your bread? So Tosus says one reason, that Kishi Yisrael Yoshvin al Shulchan Umamtinin Ze Ezeh Ad Shiyitli Yedehem Behem Belo Mitzvos Asatan Mekatrig Aleihen Ubris Melech Megin Aleihen. We thought Agav last time, remember when we talked about this, the first time we saw Machlokas Aposkim, whether you're allowed to say Dvar Torah between Al Natil Sidaim and Hamotzi. The Magen Avraham over here, Sifkat and Yudalit, says that you shouldn't wait at all, but saying Dvar Torah is better than sitting around doing nothing. This is a Machlokas Aposkim. The Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't say Dvar Torah. The Kaf HaChaim also says you shouldn't say Dvar Torah. The Kaf HaChaim quotes, thinks that we really paskin like the Taz. The Marshal says Dvar Torah, okay, but the Bach and the Taz say you shouldn't. And even though Adam told us last time that Rav Avadia would say Dvar Torah, no, is that what you said?
No, I think it's very early to speak.
You can speak, so call the Chomer Dvar Torah. If you're, again, we're not talking about, presumably we're talking about when, anyway, you're going to be waiting. So, but the Kaf HaChaim himself, both here and earlier, isn't so into it. So we paskin, you shouldn't say Dvar Torah. And l'chora, this Tosus is a raya, you shouldn't say Dvar Torah. Why? Because why is it epis that all of a sudden this is the only time that B'nai Yisrael are below Torah, below mitzvos? Because you can't say Dvar Torah, right? So that's why there's a kitrig, that's why we need salt. So that's the first explanation. And we had a pshat last time why salt is dafka, saves us, the bris melech, because we're showing, it's a covenant between people, we're having the archetz waiting for everybody else. The other reason to have salt at the table, we saw in the Beis Yosef over here, is from the Shibuli Haleket, that because the table's double mizbeach. Why is your table like a mizbeach? Because we have poor people at the table. Or because we say Dvar Torah at the table. The main reason is because we invite poor people to our table. So make sure somebody never invites needy people to their table. Maybe their table isn't a mizbeach. Maybe though also the Mishnah Berurah says, well, if you say Dvar Torah at the table, also your table could be a mizbeach. So those are the two reasons why we have salt at the table. The Rama over here brings down both of these reasons. Now these reasons are only relevant with respect to having salt at the table. Is there any reason to use that salt? So the Magen Avraham over here writes, the kasvu hamekubalim letabel prusa sabitziya bepas. Yeah, al pi kabbalah, there is an inyan to dip the bread into salt. In other words, the reasons that the nigla reasons, the tosos, the shibuli, I like that, then there's no inyan. But al pi kabbalah, there is an inyan. What is this inyan and what do you have to do? So the Magen Avraham just says to dip it into salt. But if you look at the Berhetev Sifkat and Zayin, he quotes from the Arizal, who says, Al derech hanistar tzarech melech afilu al pasnaki, de yitbol prusa samotzi b'melech gimel pelmin. You should dip it in thrice. And so, luch oira, you could argue that just sprinkling it is no point. A lot of people sprinkle their salt on their bread, right? The bread doesn't need salt, so then there's no point alts nikla. And there's also no point alts nister. Because alts nister, you're supposed to be tovel at b'melech, and really LP the Arizal would be tovel three times. So the Magen Avraham doesn't say three times, but that's what the Arizal says. So if you're just going to sprinkle it, then you haven't accomplished anything. Maybe. I don't know. If I knew what the idea of the kubalim is, maybe I could tell you whether sprinkling does anything or not. But l'chora, if you are going to try to fulfill this minig alpi kabbalah, then you should dip it. Should you, do you have to do this? The Aruch HaShulchan writes that you should do it. V'chein noagu, noagim kol yirei elokim. It's not obligatory, but you should. Why three times? And what should you be thinking about when you do it three times? So the Sfarim say that you should think Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch during the three times. Shlosha havayos, yala cheshbonim gematria, melech. There we go. So that's the idea of dipping your bread three times. Now, and Achanami, the famous story of David HaMelech. That's not what it's saying, that they're without, they're, that saying something different. It's saying that sitting around doing nothing is the kitrik. In other words, the rest of our day, we're not sitting around doing nothing.
I mean, you have a mitzvah.
Yeah, even when, because when you're, that inyan is when you're in a mikvah, oh, all you have is the milah. But you're not sitting around doing nothing in a mikvah, right? You're going to the mikvah, right? So therefore, the David HaMelech felt better when he remembered his bris milah. Uh-huh. But But here, you're literally sitting around doing nothing, right? You're just waiting. You're waiting for everybody else to wash. That's why there's a kitrin. Okay, so that's why we have salt. Now, this discussion over here, especially in the Beis Yosef, brings up a very another very interesting question, a more technical question, a Lundisha question, which is about hefsek. The word zeruah was mesupik. If saying havei melach is a hefsek, in the case where most people don't need melach, right? In other words, I want salt on my bread. Let's say I'm like one of those people that likes everything super duper salty. Most people would not think this bread needs salt. So I go ahead, I say, Motzilach min aretz, and I say, Havei melach, what's the din? We know that the Gemara tells us normally Havei melach isn't hafsek because it's minyan habracha, according to Rashi, or minyan asuda, according to the Rambam. But over here, you don't really, most people wouldn't need salt. So if you would have asked me, I'd said, okay, yeah, it's true. Most people don't need salt, but you think it does need salt. So vade, it's not a hafsek. Nevertheless, the Urzeruah, and this is quoted in Daki Moshe over here, Sif Katan Hey, he was misopic about it. He says, maybe it is a hafsek. Why? Batla daito etzakol adam. Now, l'char it's pashat, that the tzad that it's a hafsek, is because if you remember back, we had a chakira, whether hafsek is midin hafsek or midin hasachadas. We noted that maybe there's a machlokas between tosfos and the Rush. At the very least, it's machlokas between Rashi and Rambam. So l'chaora this safek of the Urzeruah is pashat that he's going on the tzad that it's a hafsek. It's a formal hafsek. It's not the pshat that the issue with hasach.
You want to listen to shir? You want to bring in shir?
Why doesn't he just go onto the?
Why
thing?
Are you on Zoom? We started. Oh yeah.
I've been waiting for the host to start this meeting forever.
Aha. Maybe I'm in the wrong Zoom.
Maybe you're in the wrong Zoom. He started the meeting.
Let's see. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. At this point, why don't you just give me the phone and you'll listen on the phone.
I'll put the phone next to Abby.
Okay.
Then you can mute yourself.
Okay. I thought it was. I went to the wrong classroom. Sorry. Okay. So we're talking about the question, the Darkei Moshe's safek, about whether a hefsek, like get salt, is a problem if most people don't think this bread needs salt. So we said, what in the world is the safek? I think it needs salt. Clearly, there's no hesach hadas over here if I think it doesn't need salt. So the very fact that that the Urzeruah has the safek. And the Ramah quotes this, we'll say what the Magen Avraham says in a second, but the fact that the Ramah is the suffix, the Darkei Moshe is the suffix, shows me what? Shows me clearly that he's learning it's Medin Hafsek. Medin Hafsek, we could say, even though, yeah, for you, it's not a Hesach Hadas, but since Rov B'nai Adam don't think it needs salt, so we're going to don it like Hafsek, just like Mashalamad Davar Domer. If most people are not makbid about a certain chatzitza, but you're makbid, or the reverse. So then we have a very important shaila. Do we go by those people? Do we go by you? The big machlokas we shown him. So over here, it's a similar type of shaila. Most people, this would be a hafsek because they don't think the bread needs salt. For you, it's not a hafsek. So we could clear. Maybe we say about ladaito kol ezavada. Maybe we don't. The whole question takes for granted the perspective of Hefsek, not Hashadas. Now, the Rashba, quoted by the Beis Yosef in Siv Zayin, clearly thinks it's Pashat, it's not a Hefsek. The Rashba says like this, Karov ani lomar, that even if there's Liftan, and you want a different Liftan, there's a Chumas, and you ask for Trina, that's not a Hefsek. He thinks for sure, if there's no Liftan, like there's no salt, and you want salt, that's for sure not a hafsek, even though most people don't need salt. But let's say there is liftan, you just want a different liftan. There is chumos, you want china. He says, even that I don't think is a hafsek. He's not 100% sure. He says, karo vani lomar, I almost think that it's okay. So says the Beis Yosef, that you see from here that the Rashba is also learning like Rashi. What do we mean by Rashi? Rashi again held that the only time Havei Melach, the reason why Havei Melach or Ave Lifton, or Gavil Turi isn't the Hefseg, is because it's Me'inyan Abracha. But the Rambam says it's enough that it's Me'inyan Asuda. So if you held, like the Rambam, it's Pashut. What difference does it make if it's bring me Chumas, if there's Tchina, if there's Chumas, right? If you want like Rashi, so then you could clear. Then you could say, well, maybe yes. Because for this Prusa Salachem, they make the Bracha on, you want Tchina, Chumas, you don't like Chumas so much. Or no, maybe you could say that since you have this, it is a Enum Inyan of Bracha, because of Maisa, you have some lift on here anyway. So therefore, the Beis Yosef is basically saying, good, so we paskin like the Rambam. Now, the truth is, even though we only paskins like the Rambam, Safek Brachos L'Hakel, but in the end of the day, the Beis Yosef says we paskin like the Rambam. So therefore, it's Pashut that this is going to be okay. It's Pashut that if there is a Tchin and you want Chumas, then it would be okay to say, please bring some Chumas. Now, the Magen Avraham, Sifkat and Yud Beis, writes that the suffix of the Or Zarua, right, slash Rama, is only Aliba de Rashi, not the Rambam, which is fine. That makes a lot of sense, more or less what the Beis Yosef says as well. But then he says something very interesting. He says, well, since we would say Bidi Aved, this is a legitimate hefsek between hamotzi and eating. What do you mean this is? Again, you think this bread needs salt, right? Everybody else in the world thinks it doesn't need salt. So according, the Or Zarua thinks maybe you can't say Havei Melech, because Batla Daito Eitz Kol Adam. But according to the Rambam, for sure you could say Havei Melech, because it's Minyan Asuda, right? So therefore, since, now, it's true that's only B'diavad, right? Like we know, L'chatchila, you should get the salt before you make your hamotzi. Don't be mafsik between hamotzi and eating. But since b'diavad it wouldn't be a hafsik, then b'diavad it wouldn't be a hafsik between hamotzi and eating. So then l'chatchila it's mutter to ask before you do hamotzi. And there's Magen Avraham, this is a very interesting chiddush over here. He says like this, even though, as we've discussed, the inyan of not being mafsik between al netilas yadayim and hamotzi is somewhat of a different inyan than not being mafsik between hamotzi and eating. But in the end of the day, it's much more chamor to be mafsik between hamotzi and eating, right? Because we know over there, if you're mafsik, you have to make a new bracha. Between al netilas yadayim and hamotzi, according to many rishonim, it's okay to be mafsik, right? And even if you are mafsik, you probably don't need to make a new bracha. So if any time, says the Magen Avraham, b'di eved, it wouldn't be a hefsek between hamotzi and eating. So then l'chatchila, it's okay to be mafsik between al netilas yadayim and hamotzi. So that's very important. In other words, l'mashal. Is it okay l'chatchila to say, you know, bring out the salt between al netilas yadayim and hamotzi, right? Or no, I shouldn't say, please bring the salt l'chatchila between al netilas yadayim and hamotzi. Do I have to try to avoid that? So the Magen Avraham is saying, no, you don't have to try to avoid it. Why? And other such things, because since b'di'avad, it would be okay to say, please bring the salt between the hamotzi and the eating. So then l'chatchila, you could say, please bring the salt between al-netilas yadayim and hamotzi. Okay. Just derech agav, it's very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah over here mentions the minhag of saying, Mizmor Hashem ro'i lo echsar. And he actually says it three times so far that I found. He says it in Kuf Samach Vav Sifkat and Gimel, over here in Kuf Samach Zayin Shar Tzion Chaf Hei, and Be'ikar, he says it in the Mishnah Berurah Siman Kuf Ayin Sif Katan Aleph. So I don't know anybody who does that. The Ikar point, though, is that a person that the Mishnah Berurah over here emphasizes how important it is to have Divrei Torah al Shulchan. And really, Divrei Torah al Shulchan is the best thing, but if you're not going to say Divrei Torah al Shulchan, so L'chol HaPachos, you should say Mizmor L'David Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. Why? Because Yesh Divrei Torah, it's a capital in Tehillim. But Tefillah al Mizonos is also Tefillah al Mizonos. That's interesting, Because even though it's not a formal bakasha, it doesn't, there's no tefillah saying, please Hashem, give me mizonos, but still, by you're noting HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us, Hashem Ro'i Lo Echsar. So therefore, in the event that you're not going to have Divrei Torah L'Shulchan, this is something you should do. This is something you should do. So that's an interesting ha'ara. Okay, turning to Sif Vav. Sif Vav, we have a very complicated question, and that is the question of speaking before you swallowed. L'chatchila, clearly a person should make the bracha and swallow before they talk. But a lot of people mess up on this. A lot of people, they make the bracha, they put in their mouth, and they all of a sudden start talking. And it is easy, if you're not thoughtful, to forget, especially when you're busy taking care of things, you know, little kids and every pressure, and you have to take it, you know, doing this and doing that. So what are the halachos here? So we'll start with the shla, which is quoted by the Bagan Avram, Sifkata Tezayin. The shla is mesupik. What's the din if you spoke while you're chewing? In other words, you made the bracha, you started chewing, but you didn't yet swallow. First, he says, you don't have to make the bracha again. But then he says, maybe that shouldn't be so pashat. Why not? Because Lamai said, you have to make a bracha if you're just chewing. Let's say a person puts food in his mouth, chews, and then spits it out. Is that machai v'bracha? No, it's not machai v'bracha. Matemes isn't nevarich, certainly when you spit it out. So that being the case, the true machayev in the bracha is when you eat it, when you swallow it. So since you are mafsik before you swallow, so then maybe that should be a hafsik. So even though the shla cites that svara, he l'chora paskin still, you don't have to make a bracha. So he concludes with the tzarchian. He concludes with the tzarchian. So what is the other tzad? In other words, the second tzad that he has, that if you talk before you swallow, you'd have to make a new bracha, that makes a lot of sense to me, right? Why? Because what's the mechayev of the bracha? The swallowing. So if you talk before you swallow, then you are mafsik. So avada, you have to make a new bracha. That's the second tzad of the shla. That tzad makes a lot of sense to me. What's his first tzad, though? What's the reason why you don't have to do this? So L'chayra, you have to say that since you're mechavein lechol, l'isa, chewing, is the beginning of the achila. And since there was no hafsik between a bracha and tchilas achila, then it's okay. And even though, again, l'isa in and of itself is not mechavein bracha, when you have l'isa, that's l'isa levloa, so the l'isa is tchilas achila, and therefore, since you're maschil lechol, it's not a hafsik. The truth is that the Meiri goes much further than this. This Meiri Adam pointed us to earlier. The Meiri Mamam Adala says, Kevan Shabirech Adam Hamotzi, Asr lo ledaber ad sheyiten aprusa letoch piv. Bimsach b'intayim tzarch la'achsa levarach. Sounds like as soon as you put the food into your mouth, that's good enough. Even if you didn't chew. And the truth is, he sounds like even l'chatchila. L'chatchila, make the bracha, make hamotzi, put the food into your mouth, you could start talking, even though you didn't even start chewing yet. Certainly you didn't swallow. So what's the svara? The svara is like we were saying, that this is tchila sa'achila. On the other hand, there are some achronim go in the opposite direction. The Maharam, Chabib, the El Yeraba both say that if you speak before you swallowed, you have to make a new bracha. They say, like the Pashtas, right? That since the only thing that's mechayev a bracha is swallowing, so once you spoke before you swallowed, you didn't need to make a new bracha. So what's the nekudas machlokas over here? So again, maybe they're arguing about, well, you can say it a couple of ways. One possibility is to say, maybe like the Chakira you liked saying before, it's a question of whether it's midin hesachadas or hafsek. If it's midin hafsek, so then it makes more sense to look at it like the Mariam Chaviv and Yal Yeraba, because Lamaisi, you were mafsik. If you think it's Hesach Hadas, maybe as long as you started eating, there is an Hesach Hadas. Alternatively, and this I think makes a little more sense, you could say that they're arguing about whether it's usher to be mafsik. I'll give a mashal. Remember, we saw a machlokas rishonim about what's the din if you were mafsik after you began fulfilling the mitzvah, before you completed fulfilling the mitzvah. Lemashal, you made the bracha on shofar, and then you blew some kolos. You didn't even blow enough to be yotzei, and then you started to talk. You have to make a new bracha. Some Rishonim said, you do, because you talked before you completed the mitzvah. Others said, no. As long as you started the mitzvah, you don't need to make a new bracha. And some even said, maybe it's even mutter l'hafsik l'chatchila. Now, what's the idea? Avadim, let's say, I was just going to be able to blow a shofar, a tkiah, right? I'm in jail, and they say, we allow you one blow and no more. If you do more, we'll kill you. So you're allowed to make just a tkiah. Fine. So you want to make a brach on that, because you're not yet to your mitzvah, presumably. So why is it then that, according to some Rishonim, but if you made the bracha and you blow a tkiah and you're planning to blow shvarim to, you're going to do 100 kolos, but you made your tkiah and you talked after that tkiah, then that's not a hafsek. Why? Because it's enough to be maschil. Even though that haschala in and of itself wouldn't be machayva bracha if it was on its own. So the same thing over here. Le'isa isn't machayva bracha. Certainly putting it into your mouth isn't machayva bracha, but it is the haschala. And therefore, if you're mafsik, then it would be okay. Again, yesh ladun. Is the shla closer to the Meiri, or is the shla closer to the Maram Chabib? Right? You could say the shla is closer to the Meiri. That's sort of what I was saying until now. That the Le'isa is the haschala, and therefore, and the Meiri is even saying, putting it into your mouth is a haschala. The shla is closer to the Meiri. You could also say fakir. You could say no. The shla is really closer to the Maram Chabib. And the point is, he's saying that if you're chewing, the stomach, you swallowed a little bit of taste. Even though you didn't swallow any food, you swallowed some tam. So he doesn't require to actually swallow the food. It's enough to swallow the tam. So the shla could be understood both ways. It could be that the shla is closer to the Maram Chabib, because at least you, when you chew, you swallowed some tam. Or it could be it's closer to the Meiri, because lemaisa, all he's requiring is haschala sachila. And the machlokas between the Meiri and the Shla is what's haschala sachila. Meiri says haschala sachila is nesinas ochel befiv, and the Shla is saying haschala sachila is leisa. The Chai Adam is machriya that you need to at least swallow a little bit of tam. And if you did, even if you didn't swallow the food, you swallowed a little bit of tam, lo hifsid abracha. Now, l'chor, it's a little strange what he's saying at first glance, because if I swallowed some tam, so avada, that's not hafsik, right? You need to make a bracha on swallowing tam, right? Every time you chew gum or suck a candy or something like that, we make a bracha, right? Even though all you are is swallowing tam. So why is he saying, b'di'eved, if you talked after you swallowed some tam, before you swallowed the food, you don't have to make a new bracha. Why is that any different than what we do l'chatchila for chewing gum? Or maybe you would say what we do for chewing gum is wrong. So the answer, I think, is because, very simple. We're talking about hamotzi. So a tam of bread is not hamotzi. In other words, for the chewing gum, for the sucking candy, that's fine. Because the tam is mechayva shahakol, right? So shahakol, you swallowed some tam, now you could talk. But when it comes to bread, the bracha is on bread. It's not a tam bread. It's on lechem. You didn't swallow any lechem. You just swallowed a little bit of tam lechem. So therefore, certainly you should do that l'chatchila. Though in the end of the day, if you did that, if you swallowed a little bit of tam, then v'di'eved, you wouldn't lose a bracha. There could be, but I'm saying you don't even have to go that far. It's even more pashut. The question is it lechem, right? The candy, there's no problem to talk after you swallow tam candy, because the brach on tam candy is shahakol, but the brach on tam lechem isn't shahak. It isn't hamotzi lechem in aretz, right? Okay, the leket yosher. It's Chelek Aleph, Amud Lamed Tes. It's also quoted by Rav Avadia. By the way, the tshuva from Rav Avadia, who quotes the Meiri, is Or Chaim Simen Tes Zayin Os Hei. So the Leket Yosha, the Leket Yosha is a Talmud of the Tumas Hadashen. He sounds to me more like the Shla. He writes, Aval Eino Tzarch Levloa Kodim Shidaber. You don't have to swallow. Maybe you have to chew. Rav Avadi assumes he's more like the Meiri, though I think it's ambiguous. It's hard to tell exactly. He definitely is not like the Maharam Habib. In other words, he definitely doesn't think you have to actually swallow. But where you draw the line is unclear, because all he says is you don't have to swallow. But he might say you need to chew. Not clear. So Bekitzer, then there are four deos, right? According to the Shla, if you started chewing, you weren't matzid the bracha. According to Maharam Habib, until you swallowed, you're not matzid the bracha. According to Chai Adam, until you swallow a little bit of tam, you're not. Once you swallow a little bit of tam, you're not matzid the bracha. According to Meiri, even l'chatchila, as long as you put it in your mouth, it's okay to talk. Rav Avadia thinks maybe there's a tzad to follow the Meiri, because if the Rishonim had seen, if the Achronim had seen the Meiri, maybe they would have held of him. They didn't see it. L'maisa, obviously l'chatchila, you shouldn't be mafsik. Even with shtika, more than yoser k'dei dibor, first of all. Even if you're not saying it at all, anything at all, you shouldn't be mafsik, yotzer k'dei dibor. And that's why, like we talked about before, you should have the food all ready to eat immediately upon the completion of the bracha. Like chves, if you're eating an orange, you should peel the orange before you make your bracha. But yeved, if you're mamtin b'shtika, even more than shalom alecha rabbi, it's not a hafsek. But if you speak, it is a hafsek. Even one word is a hafsek. And what about if you have already put it into your mouth and then you speak? So maybe l'chora mide safek lo nafka, and the Meiri's position at least is a safek, and you shouldn't make a bracha machma safek brachos. So obviously l'chatchila you shouldn't do that, and that's why a person should be very careful not to start speaking l'chatchila until they chew. The Mishnah Berurah also talks about whether halicha is a hafsek, and he says halicha is also a hafsek unless it's necessary. So let's say I make the bracha and I start walking around before I swallow. That's also not right. Yes, Yosef.
I wanted to ask about that. What's the star?
It's a maisa. Yeah. You're doing a maisa between the bracha and the achila. So it's probably not as bad as speech, but it's worse than doing nothing. It's worse than just sitting around.
Speech
is more of a hafsek. Lamashal, lamaisa halicha to some degree isn't a total hafsek, even if you're walking and you make the bracha the whole time without stopping, that's okay. So halicha is less of a hafsek than dibur, but it's still to some degree a hafsek. Now, another discussion over here, which is also very important, very interesting to Shaila, is like this. What about if the Shomea was mafsik before he ate, but the Mevarich had already eaten? So let's imagine I'm making hamotzi for all of us, right? So I made hamotzi. I took a bite. I swallowed my bite. Before you took your bite, you started talking. Right, it happens all the time at the Shabbos table. So is that a hafsek? Would you have to make a new hamotzi or not? So the Beis Yosef quotes the Rokayach, and this is also the view of the Or Zeruah, as the Rama notes, that according to the Rokayach and the Or Zeruah, you don't need to make a new bracha. Since I, the Mevarech, have already eaten, it's not a hafsek. And the Beis Yosef thinks this makes absolutely no sense. The Eini Roeh Shum Raya Misham. The Rokeach tried to bring a raya from the Gemara Erevin. The Gemara Erevin, Aaron, this is for you, Erevin, your favorite Masechta. The Gemara says in Erevin that the Gemara is clarifying about, could you make the Bruach of Shechianu on Yom Kippur, even though you can't drink the wine, could you do it a la kos and have the kid drink it? So the Gemara says, actually, you shouldn't do that. I'll say, L'misrach, we're afraid the kid's going to get into the habit. He's going to do it even after he grows up. But in theory, it would have been okay. So obviously, Even though you're going to talk before you eat, somebody else ate, that's okay. So the basis is, well, how to raya is it from there? That's not a good raya. Over there, the case was where he made the bracha with intention for the child to eat. But over here, the intention was for everybody to eat. So that's not a good raya. Okay, so is there a good raya? So the Gra writes, and the Magen Avraham also brings it up, but the Gra writes, yeah, there's a much better raya for this position of the rokeach, this position of the orzerua. What's the raya? The Gemara in Arvi Pesachim talks about Kiddush Makom Suda. And Rav holds that you don't need Kiddush Makom Suda. So let's say somebody made Kiddush and Shul. Then when you go home, everyone who hears Kiddush and Shul doesn't have to make Kiddush again at home. Because you don't need Kiddush Makom Suda, you don't see the mitzvah of Kiddush from Shul. But Rav says, you know what? Bideyayin lo yatsa. Meaning to say, when they get home, if they want to drink some wine, they have to make a Bari Agafen. They can't rely on the Bari Agafen, the Chazan made in Shul. So when they come home, they don't need to make Kiddush again, they just need to make a Bari Agafen. Says the Gain, why is it that they have to make a new Bari Agafen? Because they went from place to place. They went from Kiddush to their home. It's a Shinui Makom. But let's say they're still in Shul and they talked, right? The Chazan made Kiddush in Shul and he drank. And then everybody was schmoozing. And then they drink. So there's no Shinui Makom. It sounds like they could drink, right? You'll see people do this. Kiddush, usually people are good about this. But I'll tell you when you see everybody mess up in this. Not everybody, but you see, I've seen people mess up is by Sheva Brachos, especially. People want to drink from the Koshel Bracha, right? So, but by the time they get to drinking, they've already talked. They've talked. So the Mevarech drank. The Mevarech, the person who's made the Bari Pri Agafen, drank a little bit. And then a minute later, somebody else takes his cup of wine and he drank. He has a sip, even though he talked between that. So according to the Rosh, according to Rokeach, that's fine. And the Raya is from the Sugin Arvi Pesachim, from Rav. Oh. So is that a Gevaldik Araya? Would everybody agree to that Raya? So the answer is the Magen Avraham points out in the Gra as well, Tosfos would disagree with the Raya. Tosfos on Daf Kuf on the base, and also more explicitly in Kuf Aleph and Aleph, the Maskel Rav Yochanan says that when is this true? Only if they drank in Shul. This is actually, he's going in Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, Shinui Makom Ein Tzach Levarech. He goes further than Rav. He says you could even drink at home without making a Bari Pri Agafen, but that's only if you drank in Shul. So it's not a Raya. In other words, when Rav said that they have to make a new Bari Pri Agafen because it's a Shinui Makom, that was assuming that they drank in Shul. But if they didn't drink in Shul, even if there wasn't a Shinui Makom, if there's a Hefsik, then maybe they would have to make a new Bracha. So from Tosfos, it sounds like the Beis Yosef. So on the one hand, we have the Tosfos and the Beis Yosef on one side. On the other side of the occasion, we have the Orzerua and the Rokeach. The Magen Avraham thinks that the Rosh and the Mordechai learn like Tosfos. The Gra is Docha the Raya. He thinks that you can't prove anything from the Rosh and the Mordechai. You can't prove like the Rama either, but you can't prove like the Mechaber. So l'maisa, here we have, in the end of the day, Machlokas between the Mechaber and the Rama, right? What's the din if somebody speaks, again, after the Shomeh, after the Mevarich drank, but before they had a chance to drink? So how do you understand this Machlokas? What's the Nekudas of Machlokas? So without explaining it just yet, Tosis is a position, the Mechaber's opinion, certainly the easier position to understand, right? Just like if you can't speak, like the Beis Yosef says, you're not allowed to speak between the bracha and the drinking. And Lamaisa, this guy spoke between the bracha and the drinking. So the Mechaber's position is very easy to understand. Tosis's position is easy to understand. Question is, what's the position of the Rama, the Orzerua, the Rokeach? So L'chomer, what they seem to be saying is that since the bracha was chal when the Mevarech drank, then that's good enough. Then there's no inyan of being mafsik because the bracha was chal. The point is that you can't have a hefsik between the bracha and when the bracha is chal. So if the Mevarech spoke after he made the bracha, before the bracha was chal, then it would be a hefsik. You'd have to make a new bracha. But if the Mevarech drank, so the bracha was chal, and afterwards a hefsik wouldn't be a problem. Just to give it a mashal. First of all, it's sort of like actually a little bit like our last discussion. Our last discussion was, now it's not the exact same point, but it's a similar way of looking at it. It was like, if you made the bracha and you put it in your mouth and you started chewing, the bracha was chal. And if you're mafsik at that point, it's okay. Even though that in and of itself isn't enough to be mechayev bracha. Yet it's not exact, it's not, I'm not saying it's the same shaila, but it's the same point. In other words, we're trying to figure, the Indian of hefsek is a problem when you make an interruption, when you speak between the bracha and when it's chal. So, but going back to this case, so here where somebody, where someone speaks before he drinks, but after the mevarich drink, after the bracha was chal, I think a mashal, again, it's not the identical case, but a similar point, which is one we're going to discuss actually a little bit later. Tosos Psachim Adav Kuf Vav Amud Aleph talks about the following shaila. We paskin, Tosos says, that, and this is a machlokas as well, but we paskin that if I make kiddush for you, let's say, I make hamotzi for you, you can't eat before I eat, right? But that's only true if you're drinking from my wine or my bread. Let's say everybody has their own cup of wine, or everybody has their own rolls, everybody has their own bread. Even though I'm making hamotzi for you, it's okay for you to eat before me. So what's the idea? What we see from there is there's two ways to be yotze with my bracha. If everybody has their own thing, so then when you're yotze, it's just shomek ona, you heard my bracha. It's like you said the bracha, and therefore you could eat right away. But in the case where you don't have bread in front of you or wine in front of you and you're being yotze from my bracha, it's not simply that I'm making the bracha and you here. Rather, I'm making the bracha and eating, and then that's what allows you to eat as well. So again, it's through shomei ka'ona, but it's not just my saying it is as though you're saying it. Again, l'mashal l'madav erdoma. This isn't identical, but similar way of looking at things. Let's say I lay Megillah. So you're yotze for through shomei ka'ona, right? So if we said that, oh, when I say it, it's mamish as though you said it, right? Pretend you were saying the words, not me. Well, then, I don't know, it wouldn't be a good lading for you because you don't have a Megillah in front of you. It would have been a Kriya Baal Peh, right? Rather, you're yotze through my laning. Shomei ka'ona isn't just the idea that when I say it, ki'ilu, it's you are saying the words. So therefore, my achila is sufficient for the bracha to be chal, and therefore, it's okay if you are mafsik, as long as I ate. That's the svara of the Rezerua, the Rokeach and the Ramah. There's a lot, as we saw, there's certainly a lot of Rishonim that reject this idea. The Tosfos, the Beis Yosef, of course, the Magen Avraham, also the Mordechai and the Rosh. So l'chatchila, obviously, one should be very, very careful not to speak until you, the Shomei, also eat and swallow, for that matter. Okay, turning to Sif Ches. So here we have a very important discussion of bracha rishona lenafreya. Obviously, we know that you have to make the bracha before you eat. The question that we're going to discuss in this sif is, what about if you make the bracha after you eat? Is there such a thing as making a bracha rishona lenafreya? Again, obviously, l'chatchila, you should do it. But is the concept even possible? First glance, one would think it's not possible. However, the matter is not so pashut. So this is really a sugya daf nun on the base. Let me just read the Gemara to you quickly, and then we'll discuss it. You have to know the Gemara to understand this din in the Beis Yosef. So there's the Gemara says like this, going nun on the base, going on to nun aleph and med aleph. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Shachach ech nesoch lan lesoch piv, below bracha. You accidentally forgot to make a bracha, you put the food in your mouth. So the Gemara basically says, well, it depends. If it's something that's a solid food, and you could just take it out of your mouth, it won't be so gross. So that's what you should do. Take it out of your mouth and make the bracha and then eat it. What about if it's like, by taking it, it's already like mushy and it would be gross to take it out of your mouth. So then you could push it off to the side of your mouth and make the bracha. Ideally, we never make a bracha with food in our mouth, but in this case, b'diavad, it's okay. And here's what's relevant to us. What about if it's water? So then the Gemara says, swallow it. What? How could he swallow it? What happened to the bracha? So there's two ways to understand this Gemara. According to Rabbeinu Hanano, Avadeh, there's no such thing as a bracha rishon ol mafreya. In other words, once you swallow it, you can't make a bracha anymore. So why are you allowed to swallow it? Because once it's in your mouth, it's not like raui for bracha anymore, right? Let's imagine you spit it out. Now you wanted to drink it. You couldn't make a bracha on that. So therefore, since this is something that doesn't need a bracha, you could swallow it. And even then, it's only because you don't have anything else to drink that we would say. Otherwise, spit it out, make a bracha, and take some new water. But if you don't have anything else to drink, since this thing doesn't anyway require bracha, you're allowed to swallow. That's more or less the Rabbeinu Hananel's pshat. The Ravid disagrees, and the Rush quotes this Ravid. He accepts the Ravid. He says, no. Actually, it is to some degree shayach bracha rishon l'mafreya. Since there's no other option when it comes to liquid, you can't like shtup it to one side of your mouth, can't spit it out either. If nothing else to drink. So then, actually, I don't even know if the Rach would only say it if you have nothing else to drink. But the Rush definitely, the Ravid is deaf, but you have nothing else to drink. So therefore, what should you do? You swallow it. You're allowed to swallow it. And the opposite. According to the Rush and the Ravid, if you have something else to drink, we're talking Mayu B'she'en lo Elohim. Then Paltan Mavarcha Achaven, Bishosa. Ah. But why? Why am I allowed to swallow it? Because I'm going to make a bracha. What do you mean? How could I make a bracha after I swallowed it? So we say, no. Since you remembered when the liquids were still in your mouth, and you make a bracha afterwards, so that bracha is chal afterwards. It's sort of like over lasiaso, because you remembered before you swallowed. In other words, but in the end of the day, what's happening here? You're swallowing and you're making a bracha. And the shakel that I make after I swallow is effective, not just on what I'm going to drink in the future, but even in what I just drank. That's what the Ravid and the Rush hold. Unbelievable chiddush. Okay, the Gemara continues. Vamine me rav chista. Misha achal vishasa v'lo birech ma'al shi'af zvi marech. Amalahu, misha achal shom v'rech anodev. Yasav yochal shom achar k'dei shi'ei v'rech anodev. In other words, I didn't make a bracha on the first half of my meal, so now I should think I should not have to make a bracha on the second half of the meal. That doesn't make any sense. Amar ravina, helka chafilu gamar sudaso, yasav yivarech. Says ravina, therefore, even if you finished your meal, you should make a bracha. Netanya tal v'allah. Omer baliyaso barshek shekzam tzavzivanu alatfila, and just like we know, because a mitzvah have to be over lasiyasin, and still, when it comes to the bracha on tefila, you make it after the tefila. So too over here, you can make your bracha on food after you finished eating. Elohi hasamikarach gavelechazi. There, you could make the bracha originally. Why? Maybe because he was tummy. Maybe because he was a guy. But hacha mekar gavrechazi. You could have made a bracha originally, and he didn't. Behold the itchi itchi. So what's going on in the second half of the sugya? The Shaka Vatar is very, very unclear. What's Rav Chista thinking? What's Ravina's thinking? But here too, it seems we're talking about the question of making a bracha l'mafreya as well. And even though the pashtus is Radocha Ravina at the end of the day, Ravina said you can make the bracha at the end of the meal and it retroactively covers the whole meal. First of all, the Ravid actually passes like Ravina, so maybe we're not totally Docha Ravina. But even if you assume like the simple meaning of the Gemara, that we are Docha Ravina, still, even if we're Docha Ravina, but that's only if you finished the whole meal. But if you remembered in the middle of the meal, then you can make a bracha. And that doesn't just work for what you're about to eat in the future, but it works going backwards, right? So that's exactly what happened. Rav Chista wanted to know if you make a bracha in the middle of the meal, so clearly you can't eat more without making a bracha, but the bracha that you make will work on what you already have eaten. right? We already swallowed. And even though we're not talking about mashkin, and even though you already swallowed it, there's a bracha working with Afraya. And then Ravina, that's what Ravina said. Ravina says, oh, so maybe that will be true even at the end of the meal. And then we say, no, it won't work at the end of the meal. But it will start working in the middle of the meal. So what would the nafkamina be? So one way that one nafkamina would be, well, if I have some more food, should I make a bracha and eat some more? Because if I do have some more food, then I can make a bracha, eat a little more, and that bracha will retroactively work on that which I already ate. So according to this understanding, and certainly the Ravid accepts this, but there's basically two cases where we find bracha rishona lemafreya. Number one is with water, and number two is even with food in the middle of the meal, as long as you have more to eat. Oh. So now we have to think about both of these possibilities. Again, possibility A, the first part of the Gemara that's talking about liquids, water. Second part of the Gemara is even with food in the middle of the meal. So why should a bracha l'mafreya work? Right? Why should a bracha rishona l'mafreya work? It doesn't seem to make so much sense. So one possibility is it's something like over lasiyasa, since I remembered in the middle, but that doesn't work for the second half of the Gemara as well. Or maybe they're arguing about whether it could still be over lasiyasa if you're not entirely finished. Maybe. Yeah, that's the way the Madani Yantif learns it, correct. But you don't have to go as far as that Madani Yantif. You could say much more pashut, which is that as long as I'm going to eat more, so my brachas chal works also l'mafreya to some degree. And what does it mean to some degree? Clearly it doesn't work fully l'mafreya. So what does to some degree mean? So one way to understand it is that this machlokas we've shown him over here is about the nature of bracha rishona. What do I mean to say? If a bracha rishona is nothing more than a tilas rishos, so then you're right. Being no tilas rishos after I'm done, after I've finished eating, is worthless. But maybe a bracha rishona, brachas hanenin, or also a brachas hashavach. It's just that the brachas hashavach that you have to say beforehand, l'chatchila, because you need a tilas rishos. If not, so it's like gazel in some way. But it's also a birkas hashavach. So there's also a tikkun after the fact. In other words, you've accomplished something. So when I go ahead and let's say again, I forgot to make a bracha. I ate a bunch of food. I ate eating potato chips. I ate most of the bag. I didn't make a bracha. Then I realize, oh my goodness, I didn't make a bracha. Well, if I can make adama now and eat another potato chip, that bracha, well, at the very least, even though I won't have an atilas or shush before the first half of the eating, but it's still a birkas hashavach. And it's a tikkun to some degree, l'mafraya, right? And that's what the Ravid holds. That's what these rishonim will hold, that a bracha l'mafraya is. Again, you don't have to go as far as saying the bracha l'mafraya is 100% effective, but is it something? Yes, it's certainly something. And again, therefore the nafkamina is that if you still have some food, so you should eat a little more. So that way you could have a bracha l'mafreya. What does the Rambam hold about this? So it's actually a very interesting methodological point. The Rambam is a little bit unclear, but he sounds more like the Ravid. In Perek Ches, Halacha Yudbeis, he writes, Shachach v'echnes ochlan l'soch piv, b'lo bracha, imayu mashkin bolon mevarcha aleihan l'basov. The simplest way to read it is, it means if they're mashkin, you swallow, and then you make a shahakal afterwards. It's not 100% clear. Maybe he means, it doesn't hold to the right, but maybe he means a bar nefashos. Maybe he holds like Rabbeinu Hananel. But the simplest reading is he holds like the right, in a rush. So the Kesef Mishnah and in the Beis Yosef, he says the same thing. Very interesting idea. He says, well, it's true. It sounds a little bit more like the right, but Vinira Shemei Achar Sheefshal Lefarsh Divrei Rabbeinu Shem Kedivrei Rabbeinu Chananel. Conceivably, it could be Rach. We could shtup in the Rach's pshat. Tvei Adif Lefarsham King. Better to learn Rambam like Rach. And he adds in the Beis Yosef, because dekach kaimelan drabanim uvhakim ninu. Rabbanim is just the rach, but I assume the pshat is that we know, we do give, hold the rach, who was a very early Rishon, almost the Tkufas HaGaonim, we give him a lot of esteem, and therefore, if we could say that the Rabbanim was like the rach, we're going to try to do that. And the Darkei Moshe over here says, no, why are you doing that? Why don't you just read the Rambam Kipshuto? Kipshuto, it sounds like he holds like the Ravid and the Rush. Fine. So therefore, the Rama says we paskin like the Ravid and the Rush. And the Mechaber says we paskin like the Rach, because he thinks that's also what the Rambam holds. So this brings us to our Sif. Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Ches. So the Beis Yosef, again, he quotes a Kolbo. Kolbo says like this. You finished your meal, you forgot to make a bracha. If you're able to eat some more, you have some more food to eat, then you should make a bracha and eat a little more. Says the Beis Yosef, well, you know, that position makes a lot of sense if you hold like the Ravid. But we don't paskin like the Ravid, as I explained in Simen Kuf Ayin Beis, like we just said. We don't paskin like the Ravid. So therefore, there's no Indian to make a bracha and eat more. That's the psak of the Mechaber. And the Rama, what would he say? So it's interesting, because the Rama doesn't argue over here. And in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama doesn't argue. In Simen Kuf Ayin Beis, Sif Aleph, the Mechaber and the Rama disagree, right? They disagree, like we expect. Right. If we look at Siman Kuf Ayin Beis Sif Aleph, says the Mechaber, Shachach v'echnis mashkin l'soch piv, b'lo bracha bolan v'enu mevarech aleim b'lecha rishona. Why? Like Rabbeinu Chanano and his understanding of the Rambam. Hagah, says the Rama, v'yishomim d'mevarech aleim v'chein nera ikar. No, we paskin like the Ravid, the Rash, the Rashba, and my understanding of the Rambam. So if this is just the same old Chayla in Siman Kuf San Zayin, so we would expect the Rama to disagree over here. Let him pipe up. Let him pipe up in the Darkei Moshe. Let him pipe up in the Shulchan Aruch, but he does neither. He fully accepts the Mechaber. So what's going on over here? So l'chor, the answer is because even though, like we were saying before, the first half of the sugya and the second half of the sugya both relate to the same question of Bracha Rishona L'mafre, it's still not the identical question. Maybe, for example, the Rush accepts the Ravid with respect to the first half of the sugya, but not necessarily the second half of the sugya. The second half of the sugya, the Ravid goes much further. The Ravid says we've been passing like Ravina. There's full-fledged Racha Rishon L'mafreya. That far we don't go. Maybe it's only when you remembered when it's still in your mouth, right? Because there, in that case, it's sort of overlaps. Yes, even though the Racha is only made after you swallowed, at least you remembered while it's still in your mouth. So you weren't finished, or it's Tolkede Dibor, or something like that. In other words, the two halves of the sugya are not exactly the same. So even though, according to the Ravid, in the end of the day, in both cases, it's Shach Bracha Rishona L'mafreya, the Rama himself is willing to accept the Ravid with respect to the first half of the sugya, which is Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph, but not with respect to the second half of the sugya. However, the Kolbo disagrees. The Kolbo says, and the Kolbo, by the way, doesn't have to go as far as the Ravid either, right? You don't have to go as far to the Ravid who fully accepts Ravina. The Kolbo says, no, since we do have this idea of a bracha rishona l'mafreya, even if you don't accept Ravina, if you could eat a little more, then that bracha is not just matir what you're about to eat, but it also l'mafreya is a bracha on what you already ate. So says the Kolbo, that's what you should do. So if you could eat a little more, you should. So according to the Ravid, for sure you should do this. According to the Kolbo, for sure you should do it. I found also, it's other Rishonim as well. For example, the Meiri. If you look at the Meiri, right at the beginning of Ketz Mevarchim, he writes this explicitly. He says, he quotes Hashem Artzim Lawa, he's talking about the Iker Mechayv Bracha, and he writes, Im Shachach, the Lo Birech, he talks also about Tzafik Brachos, he quotes Tosas as sheep temple, which is relevant for us, Shachach v'lobirech, Vadayin, who ochel, chozer v'mivarech. What does it mean? Vadayin hu ochel, chozer mivarech. It means that if you make a bracha now, it's chal, not just on what you're about to eat, but also l'mafreya. So whose sheet is that? That's the kolbo. So according to the Ravid, the Miri, the kolbo, all these Rishonim would say that would agree certainly if you have more to eat, you should eat a little more and make a bracha. And that, what? Oh, because even, remember, Ravina says that works even at the end of the meal. But if you learn like Rav Chista, it would work, just not in the beginning, not in the end of the meal, only in the beginning of the meal, in the middle of the meal. So it could be Rav Chista. It's very gishmak. So halacha ma'isa to be paskin. So as I mentioned before, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban Simin Kuf Samach Zayin don't quote this kolbo, but the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura Sifkat and Ches both point out, well, it's true that the Ramban the Mechaber rejected, but it is a handful of Rishonim. It's the kolbo. It's the Ravid. We also saw it's the Meiri. So if you're able to do so, it's a good idea. Lamaisa, if you still have some food to eat, then you should make a bracha and eat a little bit more. And that will be a tikkun, not just mikanu laba, but maybe to some degree, it will also be a tikkun le mafraya. Okay, so we will stop over here. And Be'ezus Hashem.